Recording in progress.
Carrie, the meeting hasn't started yet, and so that's why you don't hear any sound. They're still convening.
Feel free to enjoy cool water and refreshing tiny little individually wrapped treats and candy.
I took all the good ones.
Whoops. Oh yeah, and please sign in at the, there's a little sign-in sheet there.
All right. I will call the Champaign County Mental Health Board meeting to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Here.
Chris Miner.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here.
Joe Omosagie.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Jen Straub. Jane Sprandel.
Here.
John Paul Joachim.
Here. All right. With that, we'll move on to the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
I move to approve the agenda.
All right. Elaine moves for the motion. Is there anyone else to second?
Seconded.
All right. All those in favor, say aye. 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 All those opposed, same sign. Those in favor, have it. The next item is the Mental Health Board and DDB schedules with the updated timeline. I don't know if Lynn, you wanted to go over that.
I mean to be sharing stuff on the screen for the remote group. Sorry about that. So we have updated, we have a schedule for the rest of this year, but then we've added onto these important dates that also the important dates for the PY25 contracting cycle, just so that people know what to expect. That's all.
All right. With that, we'll move on to the acronyms and glossary, obviously. And then the next item is the citizen input and public participation. Any audience member that would like to make a comment, now is the time. We'll leave it for 5 minutes per person, 20 minutes total. Is there anyone in the audience? Yep, yes. I see someone. So please state. We need a microphone.
Oh.
Just use one. Let's go and grab the one from over there, please.
Yeah, exactly. Is it on? Is it ready?
Yeah, it's on. Okay. And just please state your name.
Of course. Good evening. My name is Melissa Pappas, and I'm the Executive Director of Rosecrans of Central Illinois, and I'm here to answer some questions and to provide some feedback to conversations that were had last week. First, I wanted to let you know a little bit about myself. I have dedicated much of my professional career to working as a clinical therapist for the Illinois Department of Corrections, Menard Maximum Security Prison to be exact, where I provided therapy to incarcerated individuals. Additionally, I have been involved in policy reform and advocacy efforts for transgender residents within IDOC. When I joined Rosecrans in 2021, I brought with me a vision and determination to enhance access to care and resources for a community I had just recently become a part of. Last week, many of you voiced questions and concerns regarding Rosecrans's programming and outreach efforts to various demographics. And the feedback allowed for some much-needed introspective reflection on my part, as I feel like I have not done an adequate job at keeping the Mental Health Board informed of the work that Rosecrans is doing in the community. And I really wanted to take this opportunity to share. I know everyone in this room is aware of the demographics of Champaign County. However, I wanted to take a moment to review all this with you. Pulling information from the United States Census Bureau, Champaign County's demographics is as follows. We have 205,644 residents within Champaign County. 70.6% identify as white, 14.6% identify as African American or black, 11% identify as Asian, 6.8% identify as Hispanic and Latino. And in all transparency, last week's meeting felt like Rosecrans and myself were being questioned on the demographics and clients that we serve. It caused me to pause and pull our own demographics for the Central Illinois region and the clients served and the staff that we currently employ. In FY23, Rosecrans of Central Illinois served 3,553 unique community members with ages ranging from 10 to 65 and older. And some demographics to highlight in this group are 44.5% identified as white, 26% identified as African American or black, 3.5% identified as Hispanic or Latino, and 1.25% identified as Asian. To date, for FY24, Rosecrans of Central Illinois has served 2,406 unique community members and has seen an increase in serving these two demographics, 29.5% who identify as African American or black, and 4.5% who identify as Hispanic and Latino. Although these numbers do demonstrate improvement, it is understood and recognized that we have more work to do in this community. Rosecrans employs 118 dedicated and compassionate staff to cover all the services offered in Champaign County. And the current demographic breakdown for our staff serving the Champaign community is as follows. 55% identify as white, 30% identify as Black or African American, 7.6% identify as two or more races, 6% identify as Hispanic or Latino, and less than 1% identify as Asian or American Indigenous population. Lastly, I know everyone here is familiar with the programs that Rosecrans offers that seeks funding support from this board, but Rosecrans of Central Illinois offers over 16 programs in this region dedicated to meeting the needs of the community. From prevention services that are in over 10 schools in Champaign County and to date has served 4,112 youth, to our robust alumni program dedicated to continued support and fellowship throughout the recovery journey. As I stated earlier, the Rosecrans of Central Illinois is committed and dedicated to serving the clients in the Champaign County in a culturally sensitive manner, and I look forward to continuing to build the relationships with all of you and our community and to learn more about the population we're serving so that we as a community have the capacity to serve all of the residents residing here in Champaign County. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak to you all today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any other individual that would like to make a comment at this time in the audience?
No hands up in the Zoom.
All right. With that, we'll move on to the chairperson's comments. So obviously, you know, this is, you know, an important meeting. We've all, you know, the staff has worked really hard on reviewing the applications, and I know all the agencies have put a lot of work into all the applications, and I know it means a lot to the community as a whole, all the programs that, you know, all the agencies provide and how vitally important they are to the community. Obviously, I don't take any decisions that we make lightly today. I want everyone, obviously, to, you know, think purposefully with the intention of how this is going to affect the community members, not, you know, not board members, not agencies. Really, at the end of the day, the bottom line is the individuals that are served in the community. So with that, I'll move on to Lynn's comments, the executive director.
So I really shouldn't make a lot of comments, but I feel like thank you for your comment. It reminds me that we also, especially Leon and I, you know, have had a lot of conversations since last week's study session. It's always interesting what we learn from the board and how we need to change our processes. And we have a lot of data and are sort of looking forward to exploring these really important issues with y'all. So it also taught me I have a lot to learn, and I appreciate y'all being really honest with us. So that is some good news. There's really good news, which is Dr. Liggins Chambers, who is a regular contributor to Psychology Today, has an article now that's it's on the front page, and we read it, and I read it. It's called, Shattering the Illusion of Invincibility in Black Women, and it's not a long read. It's really good, so I really appreciated that, and I wanted to make sure that folks know also that you are a regular contributor to Psychology Today. So that's really good news. Then there's an update from the DD board that I should give you before we get to the end of the meeting when you usually get an update, and that is that they made decisions this morning. They did agree to some of the things that are in your memo later about how to use the DD set-aside money. They were in agreement with all that. They approved use of the Special Initiatives Fund pending your approval for the purposes described in the memo, so that was all good. And they also approved the new reporting requirements with a couple of changes, additional demographic categories. So that's the update from them. Now here's some good news, bad news. And that is we have been really busy since the study session, incorporating the input from the board, talking with Rosecrans, talking with the city of Urbana. It kind of all started with an unrelated matter between me and the city of Urbana, and I just took the opportunity to broach the subject of, hey, you know, we have an application to fund something that you're involved with right now, and we don't even know if you like it. like, that would be a great thing to hear from you. So it's, you know, over the weekend and then into Monday and then all the way up to today. So the good news is it looks very likely that Urbana will contribute to the Rosecrans CCRT program by July 1st. I think their budget is under consideration June 24. So it's not a sure thing. It's a little bit difficult to say, yay, hooray, we can, you know, pull back. But what they're talking about is possibly $100,000. So I'm being cautiously hopeful that that will actually happen. And if that does happen, then we could, basically the bad news is that pretty much all my recommendations for funding are kind of like, they're really not great recommendations anymore, because you could reduce the recommendation for that one and then increase some of the others. So I really apologize. It would have been nice to have all of this settled in time to get it into your board packet so that everyone has time to think about it. But I just want to say we really tried to have solid recommendations, and then a lot of things changed for the good all around us. So I'm sorry the recommendations are kind of stink now, but it's all to the good, hopefully. We'll see. Anyway, and I think that's enough. I think otherwise the board packet is quite full, and I should stop talking so you can get to work.
All right. With that, we'll move on to the approval of the Mental Health Board meeting minutes on pages 21 through 26. If anyone's ready, they can move for a motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve the meeting. Whatever.
All right. So there's a motion to approve the minutes from April 17th and the study session from April 24th. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. I think Chris got that one.
All right.
Yeah. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Those in favor, carry. The next item is the vendor invoice list on pages 27 through 39. Are there any questions on those? All right. If there's no questions, I will move to approve the invoice vendor list on pages 27 through 39. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Those in favor, carry. So the next item is the staff reports on pages 40 through 57. Obviously, staff has been very busy, so. All right. Any questions, comments? All right. With that, we'll move on to new business, which is the responses to the draft PY25 program summaries and reviews on pages 58 through 88.
These are identical to those in your packet from the study session. So hopefully everything was answered.
Any questions? All right, seeing none, we'll go on to the next item, which is the staff recommendations for PY 2025 funding on pages 89 through 108.
So the beginning portions are the same as the memo that was in your study session packet. I took out the calculations of affordability and then entered decisions, possible motions for you to make, which is where everything falls apart.
I thought we were flying through this.
Yeah, right? Page 93.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? 2 hours later.
There's the first one.
Yeah. All right. So everyone's looking at the first motion, which is the motion to authorize the executive director to conduct contract negotiations as specified in the memorandum. Is there any questions about this? No, seems pretty straightforward, right? Okay. Is there anyone that wants to make a motion?
Yes, I will move to authorize the executive director to conduct contract negotiations as specified in the memorandum.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Nope, seeing none. We will move for a voice vote. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Those in favor have it. So the motion is to approve. The next motion is on page 94, which is a motion to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in the memorandum. Any questions? All right. Anyone want to make a motion? All right. I will move for a motion to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in the memorandum. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. The motion is approved. The next motion is to include all contracts, the provision referencing specific exceptions to funding requirements and guidelines as described in this memorandum. Any questions? All right.
What?
Did you have a question or a comment?
No.
Oh, okay.
This will come back later in the board packet. It's very exciting to me.
All right. Is there anyone that wants to make a motion?
I move to include in all contracts the provision referencing specific exceptions to funding requirements and guidelines as described in this memorandum.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second.
All right,
seconds.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sorry, I didn't realize that was off.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I thought...
No, it's all right. It's my fault. I don't know if people could hear me online, but the last few motions were all approved for the staff, for the executive director motions, and then for the motion to include all contract provision referencing the specific exemptions to funding requirements and guidelines. So the next one is the agency allocations, which is the CCRPC, Homeless Services System Coordination. The request is for $54,281. And so the motion is for funding $54,281 for a two-year term for the CCRPC, and then subject to the caveats in the memorandum, authorize the Mental Health Board Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement. Is there any questions or comments that people want to make? All right. With that, is there anyone that wants to make a motion to approve this funding?
I make a motion to approve the funding for CCRPC Community Services.
All right. Dr. Liggins-Chambers made a motion. Is there someone that wants to second?
I'll second that.
All right. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosage.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandel.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins-Chambers.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes. So the motion is approved. The next approved for funding. And then the next agency program is the CU at Home Shelter Case Management Program. The request is for $256,700. The recommendation is to fund it for 2 years. The motion is listed below on two pages. If anyone wants to, you know, discuss it or make any comments, we can do that now or after the motion is made. Any questions about this motion? No. All right. Someone want to make a motion?
I move to approve CCMHB funding for $256,700 per year for a two-year term for CU at Home's Shelter Case Management Program, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. With that, can we have a roll call, please?
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omosage?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins-Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes. All right. With that, that is approved. So the next item is the CU Early for $80,723 for a two-year term. Is there any questions or comments on this? Seeing none, is there anyone that would like to make a motion? I'll make a motion for this one. A motion to approve the CCMHB funding for $80,723 per year for a two-year term for CU Early, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and President to execute the agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Can we have a roll call, please? Oh, sorry. Any discussion? Sorry.
You said $388,463, right? Or
no.
Am I looking at it?
That's a different one.
No.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. The one above it, the CU Early, the $80,723. Yeah, no worries.
Trying to give away money.
Any other discussion? All right. With that, we'll move on to a roll call, please.
Joe Omosage.
Yeah.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins-Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yep.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes. So the motion is approved. The next item is the CC Head Start, Early Head Start Mental Health Services. The request is for $388,463. Again, 100% of total program revenue. Again, you know, just as a reminder to everybody, these are these are staff recommendations. The board can reject or modify any of these. You know, as we go through these, if people want to make adjustments, that's something we can discuss. So, any questions or comments before we move on to?
But the recommendation is for less than that, right? Have I got the right numbers, or is
so,
it?
You're right. The recommendation is for $3,000 less than requested,
yes.
But I think given the new news, this one could be as at the request. This could be funded at the full requested level.
So we can fund this at the full $388,463 instead of the $385,000 that we had discussed at the last meeting. Yeah.
Well, then I will move to.
No, that's, I forgot to clarify.
I will move then to approve funding of $388,463 for a two-year term for the Champaign County Head Start, Early Head Start Mental Health Services, subject to the caveats as presented in this. Do you want me to say it all again?
No, I can.
Yeah. Okay.
I second.
Is there a second for the motion? Perfect. All right. With that, any discussion? So just, you know, as a, for clarification, from this point on, you know, the these are, you know, these, all these are, again, staff recommendations. We can make modifications to them, you know, if we offer partial funding for the Rosecrans CCRT program rather than full, it's possible that, you know, Urbana can pay the difference, and, you know, we can choose to partially rather than fully fund the program, and then we can raise, you know, many other funding amounts at the requested level. And so that's something that we're going to discuss with these other programs. Okay. With that, any other discussion before we move for a roll call? All right, with that, can we have a roll call, please?
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Holly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes. All right, that is approved. The next one is for the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. the motion was to fund $102,000, but I would move to amend it to $105,000 and fully fund this one. So I will make a motion to approve the CCMHB funding of $105,000 per year for a two-year term for the Champaign County Healthcare Consumer Disability Application Services, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute their agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
So any discussion? So I'm moving to fully fund this one. Any discussion? No.
All right, I think that sounds wonderful.
With that, we'll move on to a roll call.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes. All right. With that, the next item is the Courage Connection, which is the request was for $128,038, and then the recommendation was to fund it already previously to $128,038. Is there any comments or questions about this program? All right, anyone want to make a motion?
I make a motion to approve CCMHB funding for $128,038 per year for a two-year term for Courage Connection, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes. And then we have a second. I'll move for the second motion, which is a motion to approve Courage Connection to use funding from the CCMHB contract as a match for other funds throughout the term of the CCMHB contract. Is there a second for that?
I'll second it.
All right. Any discussion on that one? All right. Seeing none, since this one need a roll call or a voice vote?
I think so.
Okay, we'll do a roll call. Can we get a roll call, please?
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim?
Yes. Yes. With that, we'll move on to Cunningham Children's Home Echo Housing and Employment Support. It's, the request was for $203,710. The board recommended funding $200,000, but I think, you know, we can increase it to the full funding if others are agreeable to that.
I would like to do that.
Okay. Is there a motion for the full funding?
I will move to approve CCMHB funding of $203,710 per year for a two-year term for Cunningham Children's Home Echo Housing and Employment Support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second that.
All right. Any discussion? No. All right. Can I get a roll call, please?
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandel.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Right. Everybody.
Did everyone say yes? Okay, yeah. All right, so with that, we'll move on to Cunningham Children's Home, Families Stronger Together. The request is for $282,139. Previously, we had all discussed this and the staff made the recommendation to fully fund it at $282,139. Is there any questions or comments before we move for a motion? No. All right. Anyone would like to make a motion to approve?
I can do that. I move to approve funding of $282,139 per year for a two-year term for the Cunningham Children's Home Families Stronger Together program, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Can we get a roll call, please?
Jane Sprandel.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes. All right. With that, we'll move on to the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club CU Change. The request is for $85,575. Staff originally had approved it for $82,000 or recommended $82,575. With recent changes, we can fully fund that program as well if we desire.
And there was also a comment last time to offer a two-year
Mike.
Term.
Oh. Last week there was a comment to offer a two-year term, so we should add that to the motion.
Yes. That's correct. Thank you. So if someone would like to make a motion to approve fully and offer a two-year term, we can do that. I'll go ahead and do it. So I'll move for a motion to approve the CCMHB funding of $85,575 per year for a two-year term for Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club CU Change, subject to the caveat as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement. Is there a second?
I second.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Seeing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yay.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandel.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes. With that, we will be moving on to the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club Community Coalition Summer Initiatives. The request was for $107,000. Initially, we had agreed with a recommendation to fund for $90,000. However, you know, with the recent discussion, in the we can, I think, fund this at $100,000. So increasing it up $10,000 if others are okay with that. All right. Yeah, so we'll increase it from 90 instead of 90, we'll do 100,000.
I think that sounds like a good idea.
All right, so I will move to approve the CCMHB funding of 100,000 per year for a two-year term for the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club Community Coalition Summer Youth Initiatives. subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll move on to a roll call, please.
Chris Miner.
Yep.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes. With that, we'll move on to First Followers, the First Steps Community Reentry House. The request was for $69,500. Initially, we had gone with recommendations for funding $58,500, but again, I think with the recent discussion, we can increase that to the full funding of $69,500 if others are agreeable to that. If someone would like to make a motion.
I make a motion the CCMHB funding of $69,500 per year for a two-year term for First Followers First Steps Community Reentry House, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
All right. Is there a second?
I second.
Right. Any discussion? I see Chris thinking over there.
No, thank you.
I'm thinking that I should probably abstain myself from this,
okay.
Both First Followers and one a little later in the afternoon, so yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and say that. I've worked too closely with them, and I'm too opinionated.
Yeah. It's always better to be safe than sorry, you know? I think that's appropriate. So, any other discussion? No. Can I get a roll call, please?
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. With that, so that is approved. The next item is First Followers Peer Mentoring for Reentry. The request is for $95,000, and we had agreed in the past meetings to fund fully for $95,000. Is there anyone that wants to make a motion?
I can move to approve CCMHB funding of $95,000 per year for a two-year term for First Followers Peer Mentoring for Reentry, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute.
All right, is there a second for the motion?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All right. Seeing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Abstain.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes. So that motion is approved.
Can I make am I allowed to make a comment in between, since it's not regarding any specific? I'm doing calculations over here, and I just wanted to mention that we've awarded an additional $33,000 to contracts so far than, you know, as opposed to what we had originally thought we were going to be able to do. So I just wanted to mention that. That's the tally so far.
So we still have about 67,000.
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
So the next one is for. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Oh. Did you have?
The next one had a recommendation also last week to offer a two-year term.
GCAP or.
Yeah. Okay. GCAP.
So that's the only change to GCAP, because they corrected an error on how much they needed. So fully funding for them would be the $61,566. And then is there anyone that would like to make a motion for that? and add a two-year term to that.
I move to approve CCMHB funding of $61,566 for GCAP advocacy care and education services per year for a two-year term, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Second. All right. Any discussion?
Right. I realize they put the two-year term in the wrong place in the motion, but that's all right. It's still there.
That's all right. with that, can I get a roll call, please?
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
John Paul Yeokim?
Abstain. With that, we'll move on to GROW. The request is for $159,740. We had previously recommended funding $157,690. I think I would keep that where it is if people are agreeable to that.
Because that was an error.
Oh, that was an error in the form. Okay, perfect. So yeah, so that would be fully funding them. Any comments before? So anyone want to make a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to approve CCMHB funding for $157,690 per year for a two-year term for GROW and Illinois Peer Support Program, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Right, is there a second?
I'll second.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. The motion is approved. The next is Rosecrans Benefits Case Management. The request is for $84,625. We had recommended fully funding $84,625 at the previous study session. And then the special provision to...
So there was already a special provision recommended to work with the CLC coordinator and, you know, toward increasing the focus on types of lived expertise represented on the agency board and staff teams, and to increase the engagement of members of minority communities. So I think yes. You had added something to share that plan with the board.
Yeah. So I think, you know, from our discussion in the previous, study session, I think, you know, just like, you know, Rosecrans had stated earlier, I think sometimes we don't know what agencies are doing behind the scenes. And I think it would be good for us to know more about what they're doing, especially when we have questions like this. And so I think one of the things we should add to this is to the special provisions is to share their plan of how they are reaching out to the community and how they're improving their outreach to minority members of the minority community to increase engagement. So I think just so that they can, share that with us so that we can understand what they're doing.
And this is through all the programs Rosecrans does, not just this one right here, correct?
I
don't got to keep reiterating it each time. I just
want
to make sure.
So the way we structured the staff recommendations already was we jammed all the special provisions in that first one, and then we referred to them in the later. So all of the contracts would have that special provision, but the agency would only have to do it once. Yeah.
I do have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know Kim graciously talked about stats, but when it comes down to those statistics, breaking them down between
like programs.
Let's see, the programs, yes, but also 30% African American, for example, how many are therapists? Can we do that? How many are janitors and custodians, and versus how many actually work in the community with clients? I'd be interested in knowing that as well.
Like I don't know what's practical. I couldn't speak to that, and I would be really hesitant to get really specific right now. But I do think that our CLC coordinator and the agency have worked together in the past and could work. I don't know how much detail they could provide in that, but that was one of the things that y'all brought up before that I think, you know, can be done.
Yeah.
And like you said, we might find they're already doing it, but just, yeah.
I think before the presentation is I thought it was on. I think, you know, whenever the presentation is scheduled, I think, you know, questions or you know, statistics that some board members would like can be, I would like you to, like, ask us what questions we want to ask the CLC coordinator to then ask the agency to then follow up on and see what's reasonable and go, you know, we can go back and forth and figure that out before the presentation.
That doesn't mean yes.
Yes.
Okay, because if we're culturally sensitive, I think the board needs to know that given the stats that we just heard and the stats that were presented in these packets by each of their programs.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Any other, so do we need to make an amendment to the special provisions, or is it?
Well, all I was going to add is to that there would be a report on this plan to the community. So to give that structure, we can work on that together after.
Okay.
It is kind of, some of this stuff gets into like the contract negotiation too. Mm-hmm. So you've already given me some flexibility to do that, but I think we have a direction now, and I appreciate the conversation.
All right. any other comments, questions? All right. Is there a motion to approve the full funding?
I'll make a motion to approve CCMHB funding of $84,625 per year for a two-year term for Rosecrans Central Illinois Benefits Case Management, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute this agreement.
I'll second that. Any discussion? All right. With that, can I have a roll call, please?
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosage.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandel.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes. All right. With that, the next item is the Rosecrans Child and Family Services. The original request was for $77,175. Initially, we had come to the recommendation of funding for $73,500, but with the recent discussion, I think we can fully fund this program if people are agreeable.
I would be in favor of doing that increase to the amount that we had originally talked about last week. I am still concerned about the reach of the psychiatrist in this program, given that there is no wait list and we know that there is a need for psychiatry services overall in our county, as well as specifically for youth. And I'm wondering if we might have any further discussion about that now, and or if there's anything we can add as a provision to help increase access, or if the special provisions as stated encompass that.
So
I don't know how to create a special provision to accomplish that. Mm-hmm. I think the way that the concern was expressed in the packet last week was is the process bottlenecking access to, or is the process a bottleneck? Could the process be improved? So I didn't try to come up with a special provision. I just wasn't really sure what to do about that. So if you guys have ideas.
I mean, for me, it's going to be hard to come up with a provision for this year, but knowing if next year there is still a bottleneck and we see that the treatment plan clients is not meeting targets and not progressing, it would be hard for me to continue funding this when we could be using it to fund other programs that are, like Promise Healthcare has psychiatrists and helping them, get more kids into psychiatry or other programs that are more successful. getting kids into the psychiatrist because there is a very high need right now. I mean, there's a lot of kids that come out of inpatient psychiatric hospitalization that don't meet up with a psychiatrist right now. They're following with a general pediatrician.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I support you on that one. Possibly next year, doing something different, contingencies, or, you know, actually, if we have the same problem, I support that. I think we should hold them accountable next year.
I think this is a result of the conversation that you guys had last week, plus some of the conversation with the agency. There is a provision to encourage referrals from other organizations, and I think what was behind that, so I have not captured the essence with that phrase right there, but I think what was behind that was a different way to get directly enrolled with the psychiatrist, right? I mean, this was coming from you all, like that.
So I think, obviously, you know, they need to have an evaluation to see if they need to follow psychiatry. But honestly, I think if I were to change the program for the next year, I would say just make a contract with Pavilion. And any kid who cannot get in with a pediatric psychiatrist, either at Rose, either at Promise Healthcare, Carl, or OSF, needs to then can be routed to Rosecrans, or routed to Rosecrans for outpatient psychiatric follow-up, because those kids are like the ones that are on antipsychotics, not just regular SSRIs like Zoloft or Prozac or Lexapro. Like, those general pediatricians can handle day in and day out, but it's the ones that are on antipsychotics that a general pediatrician does not typically feel comfortable treating that is the one that is always the hardest, and those are typically the more difficult cases, and that needs to be followed with a psychiatrist. So, I mean, that's a high need area. Obviously, you know, as pediatricians, we try to bridge the gap until they can get in with psychiatry, but it can take months to get in with them, if even that. And we're trying to streamline that, but it's still very difficult. So,
just to add on, I know that one of the ways that my understanding is that this program approaches things is to ensure that individuals who are working with the psychiatrist are also engaged in other kinds of clinical services, which is extremely important. My understanding from working as a therapist in this field is that my caseload is a lot different than what a psychiatrist is able to do. And if there's a limit to the number of clinicians who are doing these other clinical services, then that's going to inherently bottleneck the ability to reach a psychiatrist. So potentially even working with other clinicians in the community, maybe they don't have to follow with a Rosecrans clinician. Maybe they can follow with have therapy services from, you know, any number of clinicians in the community. I do want to highlight that that is coming from best practices, having counseling and psychiatry services together, which I do agree with. But I think there might be some creative ways to expand the counseling and other clinical services reach so that more people could see the psychiatrist.
All right, so I have a comment and a question. So my comment is, I'm hearing there's a little concern about, like, you know, looking at things for next year. Should we only offer a one-year contract then? Because it's presented as possibly doing a two-year. So should we change that maybe to a one-year? And then my other question, and it could be a dumb question, is, you know, you talked about if people can't get into OSF or they can't get into the Pavilion, then maybe refer them to Rosecrans. But isn't a lot of that based on if the parents have insurance or if they're on a medical card? That's what I don't know.
So I was like, kids that have like suicidal ideation or homicidal ideation, they go to the emergency room and they get evaluated, and then they determine whether or not they're safe to go home or not, or if they need to be admitted for like inpatient therapy. And usually the place here is Pavilion. And so then they'll stay there for, you know, a certain amount of time. They'll see the psychiatrist while they're there. They may or may not get their if they're not on medications, they may get placed on medicine. If they are on medicine, they may make adjustments or add medicine, and then they will discharge them. And then typically they try to have them follow up with a pediatric psychiatrist. Obviously I'm at Carl, so usually they're following up at Carl, and they have time set for hospital follow-up, but often sometimes it doesn't always happen, and sometimes families miss appointments and they have to get it rescheduled for one reason or another, and then that next appointment is going to take a couple months. So in the meantime, what happens is the pediatrician is managing those patients as best they can. It's hard to make changes on medicines that we are not trained on managing. And so, you know, we can talk with the psychiatrist at Carl to kind of give us some guidance when we get stuck or, you know, in a situation that we're not familiar with. But it is not ideal. And so typically you want to get them in and followed and established with a pediatric psychiatrist, you know, as soon as possible. So that's, you know, I think where I'm coming from is just trying to get them in with Rosecrans. It would be easy if they couldn't get in for some reason with Carl Psychiatry or somewhere else, like Promise Healthcare. Gibson City has some psychiatrists that will see kids now that I've had a few kids see someone over there. So, you know, it would be nice to have someone else that has, you know, openings to see those complicated cases.
Well, and I guess I was under the understanding, too, that, like, Rosecrans can take a bigger variety of insurance than, say, Carl can.
Oh, sorry. So Carl, we take Medicaid, and we have Carl Financial Assistance. OSF does, too. They have their own assistance programs they take Medicaid to. Like, we take Molina, Meridian, you know. So that's not an issue.
Okay.
It's not the insurance coverage. Psychiatry does, too. I don't know psychiatry. They only have a certain allotment, though, versus us. Like, pediatrics, we don't. Like, we see, if I have all 100% Medicaid, it's 100% Medicaid. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter to me. I'm not sure how the specialties work, though.
Yeah. I just know, as a parent who has insurance, it's very difficult in this community to get, and granted, my kids are now adults, but to get the services they need because there's one provider and we're not taking patients. Well, you're the only one who takes my insurance.
Psychology is like that. Psychology, I'm usually referring to, like, Rosecrans, Hope Springs, ABC Counseling. I think Catalyst Counseling takes a few, but not. It's like a set amount. Other places, I don't think, take Medicaid for counseling, so it's really difficult. Yeah, if you have insurance, there's plenty. It's like Cary Powell, Two Roads, you know, Elliott Counseling, you know, Blueprint. Not psychiatry, like Promise Healthcare takes Medicaid, Carl takes Medicaid, OSF, I don't know if they have ped psychiatry. I know for adult they have inpatient. I did have like 18-year-olds that get admitted there for inpatient hospitalization, but I'm not sure. I'm sure they have outpatient, but I know for peds, OSF, they had a Dr. Serrano over in Peoria, but I don't think she does telehealth. I don't know if she's still there or not.
So talking about the 1 year, is that something we'd want to consider?
Yeah, I think I would do 1 year if people are agreeable to that, and then just reassessing next year. Yeah. Any other questions, comments?
I do want to say that I've heard from community members that they really like the Rosecrans psychiatrist for this program.
That's excellent. Thanks for sharing that. All right. With that, I will move for a motion to approve the CCMHB funding of $77,175 $77,175 for a one-year term for Rosecrans Central Illinois Child and Family Services, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second the motion.
All right. Can I any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, can I get a roll call, please?
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Plencia.
Yes.
Jane Sprandle.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes. With that approval, we'll move on to the Rosecrans Criminal Justice PSC. For the original request was for $336,000. dollars. The previous recommendation is for $336,000 per year for a two-year term. I would love to keep this at that full funding if everyone's in agreement. And we have Jen joining us. Thank you for being here. We are on page 104. All right. any comments or questions before we move for a motion? All right. Is there anyone that wants to move for a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the CCMHB funding of $336,000 per year for a two-year term for Rosecrans Central Illinois Criminal Justice PSC, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
All right, is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, Elaine seconds. Any discussion? All right, seeing no discussion, can I get a roll call, please?
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omosage?
Yes.
Elaine Plincia?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes. All right, the next item is the Rosecrans Crisis Co-Response Team and Diversion Center. The request is for $410,000. and then we had initially, the last meeting, recommended the approval of full funding for $410,000. Obviously, after recent discussion, I think I would recommend funding at a lower than requested I think $310,000 per year for a two-year term. Anyone has any comments or questions about that?
I'd just like to say thank you to Lynn for working so hard on this. I think this is a really important... this is a really important service. I was a little confused. And I'm glad we're able to fund this fully in our community and still take some of our resources and use them for other organizations that desperately need the funding.
Yes. I think Lynn was doing fingers crossed because
fingers crossed.
Technically it's the 20th. Say, what day is it the Urbana is deciding on?
June 24 is when they decide. And there are a few things that could go wrong with it, but the contingency plans would be this proposal included a new position, which I think most of us quite liked, for the peer supporter. So if that is not possible, then the program could continue as it has and then expand in whatever way Urbana has in mind. But apparently they were planning to put $100,000 toward this service anyway, so hopefully that'll work out, and hopefully this program will be full. The other contingency plan is that the county calls me tomorrow and says, oh my gosh, you're going to have another $100,000 you can allocate, right? Like it's usually a couple thousand, not $100,000, but anything could happen. So that's.
And I think this is a good example of tapping into other resources. We often, ask our agencies, are you doing any fundraising? Are you asking other people? Are you applying for grants? And, I think obviously Lynn has put a lot of time and effort and frustration into, getting this done with Urbana, but it might open up the door to be like, hey, Champagne, hey, Rantoul, other people that are benefiting from things that we have been funding for years. The gun violence things that I talked about years ago, I'm like, where's Champagne? Where's Urbana? Where's Rantoul giving some money? So good job. I know it's been tedious process, but thank you.
Just to piggyback off what Jane said, I think, again, we need to remind ourselves we are the funder of last resort. And if there is a shared, burden in funding these programs, it makes the burden much lighter for everybody. And so I want those, hopefully there's someone from those governmental agencies listening tonight, to think about that and remember that, every little bit helps you know, it makes our decisions much easier for funding other programs. So,
like, I actually think it's really important that you know now what you didn't know last week, which is that Urbana really does appreciate this program, and that they had been talking about it with their consultant and they're planning to do something about it. So I think that's really good news. I have to knock on a lot of doors to find out from the other units of programs that we've been funding for a long time if they still like it. And that's why you knew before that Criminal Justice PSC is very much appreciated by our justice partners. But anyway, okay.
I just wanted to add, I'm just kind of joining the echoing of the importance of not only agencies diversifying their funding, but also our larger systems of the, you know, cities, state, federal, you know, committing to mental health to the same degree that, you know, the mental health board does. I think that sometimes when we hear mental health in our community, we think, okay, the mental health board can do that. But mental health touches so many various areas. And I think this is a perfect example of that. This is a program that is mental health and it's other aspects too. And it's our, you know, the entire community's responsibility to care about mental health. So I'm very glad that this potential opportunity has arisen, and also want to thank Lynn for her work on helping facilitate that conversation, because I think it is going to potentially benefit a lot of the community. So thank you.
And the one thing I'll add is, you know, it's going to be for, we're going to offer a two-year term, but obviously if it doesn't happen on June 24th, they can always just say, no, we'll do 1 year and then reapply next year. So.
Mental health is health.
All right. I will move for a motion to approve the CCMHB funding of $310,000 per year for a two-year term for Rosecrans Central Illinois Crisis Co-Response Team and Diversion Center, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Seconded.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Can we get a roll call, please?
Jen Straub.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes. With that, the next item is the Rosecrans Recovery Home for $100,000. We had recommended previously to fully fund this. You know, I don't think we'd make any changes. I am happy with this program. If people want to just make any discussion or any comments right now or questions, so, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve CCMHB funding of $100,000 per year for a two-year term for Rosecrans Central Illinois Recovery Home, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Is there a second?
I second.
All right, Elaine seconds. Any discussion? Seeing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Yes.
Chris Miner.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes.
Joe Omosagie.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jen Straub.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes. With that, we'll move on to the Rosecrans Central Illinois Specialty Courts. The request was for $186,900. Previously, we had recommended funding at a lower level of $178,000. But with recent discussion, I think we can fully fund this at the requested level. Is there any questions? All right. With no questions, I will move to approve the CCMHB funding of $186,900 of the Rosecrans Central Illinois Specialty Courts, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I'll second.
I think Joe on the
I just wanted to clarify that in this instance, we're not offering a two-year term in case of potential opportunities they may occur in the future.
Yes, thank you, Molly. I appreciate that clarification. Fingers crossed. Yeah, go ahead.
Just other good news, the county has a grant writer, and she is working on a proposal for funding for this. So I don't know if it would supplant this or expand the program, but that's why it might be good to do this again next year.
Yeah. Again, just like with other governmental agencies, any little bit helps. The sharing the load is good. All right. Any other discussion? With that, can I have a roll call, please?
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joan Malosagian?
Yes.
Lori
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we will move on to the Terrapin Station Sober Living NFP Recovery Home. The request is for $90,880. And so the recommendation is to fund for $88,880 because of not being able to fund the property tax. So that's a $2,000 less. So I agree with staff recommendations to not fully fund it for that reason. Any comments? Anyone want to make a motion?
Okay, why are they paying property taxes?
I am willing to go to the office right next door, 2 hours, and meet him there and try to find out why. Mm-hmm. I mean, he understands why, but I would like to advocate for him.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are lots of entities in this community that don't, and they ought not to be.
So hopefully next year it'll be the full funding. But for this year, is there a motion to approve the funding?
Motion to approve CCMHB funding of $88,880 per year for a two-year term for Terrapin Station Sober Living NFP Recovery Home, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Is there a second?
A second.
All right, Joe seconds. Is there any discussion? So again, just like with the other agencies that we fund for 2 years, they always have the option to decline 2 years and do 1 year. So if they find out, you know, and they advocate and they can get the property tax covered, then they can just do a one-year term and come back next year for full funding. Go ahead.
There's also an option in every contract to cancel the contract for any reason. So the other party could say, I don't want a 2 year. I thought it was a good idea. Now
you mean
I
like
don't
halfway,
want
like, yeah, like they, next year?
Yeah, they could say, I want to cancel this contract.
So January next year.
Like it's never happened, and okay. I hate to say that, but the idea of 2 year contracts is really to offer stability. Mm-hmm. If it's not working, an agency should be able to tell us that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I agree. All right. No further discussion. Let's go on to roll call, please.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Jen Straub?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes. With that, we're going to move on to the UP Center Child, Youth, and Family Program. The request is for $190,056. We had, discussed previous meetings at fully funding this program. I think the thing that I would add is that I would request that the UP Center share.
Yeah, the same.
Yeah, do the same thing that Rosecrans. I recommend Rosecrans doing, which is share a presentation with the board about how they are. Doing with, like, outreach and how they are improving outreach to minority communities. All right. If everyone's in agreement with that, is there a motion to approve the funding?
I'll make a motion to approve CCMHB funding of $190,056 per year for a two-year term for the UP Center of Champaign County Children, Youth, and Families Program, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? I'm seeing none. Can I get a roll call, please?
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omoosagye?
Yes.
Jean-Paul Yokim?
Yes. All right. The next item is the WIN Recovery Community Support Reentry Houses.
And Jen Strum.
Also, yes.
Oh.
Sorry.
So the motion passes. With that, we'll move on to the WIN Recovery Community Support Reentry Houses. The request is for $244,342. Previously, we had agreed with a recommendation of funding for $129,000. But I think with the recent discussion, we can increase that to $184,000. But I think, one of the things I would recommend in the special provisions is that the agency should hire a director for its Champaign County operations.
We do this for 1 year instead of...
Oh, and we can do this for 1 year instead of 2 years. Mm-hmm. Is there any comments or questions?
I did have a question. Again, I'm not critically questioning this, but how did we come up with $184,000? Just middle of the road, kind of?
It was the most that we could put in,
bucket of money.
Yes, we're kind of going back in, and like some of the earlier recommendations were for $2,000 less, just because we thought they would be able to manage a slightly lower amount. So we bumped those back up, because if affordability is not the only issue, why not do the full funding? But for this one, there are other issues, like that maybe some structural changes before the expansion, the proposed expansion, and maybe a two-year term was not a great idea. These are all just because they are trying to grow. And okay.
This is also like a largest single amount that more than the previous year than any contract is asking for. I did do the math. So of that 100,000, we had 54,425 left. When I added that to 129, I got 183,425. So I guess I was wondering, do we have like a little reserve to do the 184, or should we?
We're walking the plank now.
Okay.
It's just the recommendations that you saw last week and that are in the board packet were for only $60 more than I think is affordable. These, what we've got so far is about like $625 more. So, I mean, it's all money that we don't have yet. It's all $2025. We don't know what we're going to get. So we're doing a best guess.
So Molly, are you thinking about doing it for $183,425?
I mean, it feels like a random number, but the request is for $244,342. So I would love to, I guess, hear from other people on that. I don't want, I think we're talking about a specific figure that will be available that is still in flux. So attaching to a sort of random sounding number doesn't sound great to me personally, but I'd love to hear from others on that.
I think from Mike's, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say I had that concern too, mm-hmm. and I wonder why we're actually not approving the 129, considering that it's a growing program. It's in Chicago and this area. So that's my concern, to focus on Champaign County. So adding, $50,000 for a program that's not What am I looking for here? The focus is not Champaign County when we actually have other agencies here that could benefit from that $50-something thousand.
But didn't you doing the math, find that that money was all going to be spent in Champaign County? No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. There was a point where I looked at their proposed budget, and it looked like the amount that didn't include the new house was around $190,000. But I didn't ask them. There could be costs associated with the new house that were tucked in with other lines that I just didn't notice. Budgets are always a guess anyway. So this was sort of deliberately don't do the new house, but increase the staffing presence here, mm-hmm. like a local manager. No?
Okay. I mean, we've had this concern with other agencies, that is it all being spent in Champaign County? So that's a good question to ask about this money. Yeah.
And if we lowered, for example, some of the funding with Rosecrans and other agencies, they focus on Champaign County. So to me, it would only be fair to allocate that money to agencies in Champaign County and not necessarily one that's not, we don't know how they're focused in Champaign County or if they're going to continue to focus here because they haven't hired staff.
No, they do.
No, they haven't hired a manager.
Right.
So I think the special provision is to hire a director for the Champaign County operations and adding that to the special provisions. So, with that extra money, and it's going to be for 1 year, so I think adding that extra money so that they hopefully will use that to focus here and hire someone specifically for here. But
I just want to point out, because Joe looked at me, I'm not participating in this discussion. I'm abstaining from this vote because, like I said, I've worked with them less than a year ago, and I know too much.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that given all of the math we did earlier and the increases we made, nearly all of the requests are getting the full amount that they requested now, with the exception of
the CCRT,
which is potentially going to be getting this $100,000 from Urbana, and then I think the ones with mathematical errors.
Yes. So GCAP and GROW were the mathematical errors. So go ahead, Dr. Lee.
The focus is Champaign County, though. That's the difference.
So, but
for
if
me.
We don't spend this money, I guess it goes back to the county. But again,
no, it's yours.
Oh, it goes. But I thought we have to use it.
No, you actually, your fund balance is getting smaller each year. And there was some long paragraphs about that. It would be good to leave some money in the fund balance. Mm-hmm. But I think the times we're living in really call for as much as we can do for the community as possible. So I think that's been a value that the board members have shared. I hear what you're saying. We know that there are local operations. Our staff visited them within the year and found things to be going pretty well. It's just the director is not here. So I hear what you're saying. You could hold off on voting on this one if you would like. I'm open to whatever.
No, I think personally, if they have a plan to grow here, then okay, but maybe we need to see it before we give either full funding or, even 180, $183,000. I'm concerned. And it seems like others are concerned as well. I might be the one that's pretty candid about it, only because we need to keep this fair across the agencies, and the agencies other than this one are focused here. That's my concern, the community here.
But the budget that they submitted, doesn't that account for the money being spent here? Or okay.
It does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they have to spend it here?
Yeah. The money can only be used for Champaign County residents. So, and again, the money if they do not use it and show that they're using it for our residents, they have to give it back. You know, that's why we have audits, even though they take a while. We've had several where even after agencies have closed, we've had to go back and request the money back from them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously we want to make sure as a board that we are accountable to the taxpayers. But I think, you know, we do our best, and especially staff works hard to make sure that agencies are being held accountable for making sure funds are used for county residents. And again, if the funding isn't utilized by the program because of underutilization of the program, that money is supposed to be sent back to us, and the staff follows up on that.
So I was trying to glance at the application. So we're talking about them getting like a local like house manager or whatever. Is that something that they were wanting to do with this money, or is this something we're kind of asking them to do?
So that's something we're asking them to do because of our concern about the lack of focus on this program in the area. And so that's, I think that's why doing it as a one-year term would be helpful to demonstrate, okay, are you doing this or not? Are you? And I think, you know, we all have our perceptions of agencies and programs, and I think I always want to try to be non-judgmental and try to see, okay, are we going to let them fail or succeed? And I want them to do that and give them the room to either to succeed or to fail. And then, okay, now we need to talk about, are we going to continue funding this program?
Well, I think early on I was very concerned about not having a director here in town.
Yeah.
I was a little like, what? But I'm wondering also, though, like, I mean, I know we're the one giving out money so we can make, you know, these caveats, but can we tell them that they have to? It's hard because I feel like it's kind of an HR issue, and like, I can't tell an agency who they should hire and things like that. And so, I mean, I guess if they want our money, they'll hire an on-site person. I don't know. I just throwing it out there.
I've been championing this program and getting an increase, and I think there's a few reasons. One, my understanding from staff evaluations of the agency is that they're doing good work. I also want to acknowledge that there have been several programs in our community run by women of color that we have lost over the years, and this is one of the only programs that is run by a woman of color, and I understand there are a lot of additional responsibilities and additional layers of scrutiny by society that women and people of color, and especially women of color, are given when they're in leadership roles. And I think when we've asked things of Wynn, like with the late audit, they turned it around quite quickly to us. And I just wanted to highlight that. Several of these applications are asking for expansions. And, you know, even though I think all of these requests are for services in Champaign County, some other agencies have headquarters in other communities, not just Wynn. I think as long as the services are being focused here and doing good work for our community here, I think this agency should, if we have money available, which we do now, we should allow them to expand as we would any other. And I did want to note those particular layers that Wynn is dealing with, not only as a women of color run agency, but also an agency, one of the only ones that predominantly supports women, and I believe trans women as well. So I just wanted to highlight my thoughts on that.
I still think we should do definitely the one-year contract or vote on it, and then we may, if we need to pause on the funding piece, maybe we can and just kind of talk about it. That would be my opinion, because we're all kind of saying the same thing, just different angles. And again, you know, the bigger picture personally for me is the work you're doing in Champaign County. I don't care if these agencies have other sites. They can be in St. Louis, you know, as long as they are serving Champaign County. That's what's important to me. And if the funding, if you shared, that the funding that they use is not going to their site in Chicago, it's actually coming to Champaign, then that makes me feel better about it.
This is an issue that comes up with agencies which have a larger service region than Champaign. Like, what if they have state funding to serve people, then they should also be using their state funding on behalf of Champaign County residents. So we have, you know, kind of, we ask those questions a lot and get into the weeds on that. But it is, I learned from First Followers recently, and I think Leon was on that meeting with me, that it is actually easier to ensure that people are from Champaign County or are returning from DOC to this county than it is to track in some of the other programs where we have people fleeing domestic violence or who are without housing. So that was, it was an interesting assurance. It was just about the process of referrals through DOC that was just a little bit better at ensuring us these are Champaign County people. So, yeah. But I really appreciate this conversation, and I do think it's, you're right, a one-year term makes a lot more sense given all of the issues that we wanted to address.
Molly, do you want to make a motion?
I guess I don't know what amount.
That's why I'm leaving the motion to you. So then we can have discussion if we want.
So this 184 amount is possibly a little bit more than we may have available. So I guess I'm going to motion for 183 because currently we believe we do have that available and it's a round number. So I move to approve CCMHB funding of $183,000 per year for a one-year term for Wind Recovery Community Support Reentry Houses, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
I will second the motion.
All right, Jane seconds. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Abstain.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Jen Stroud?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes. All right. The motion is approved. The next item is on page 108. It's the CCRPC Community Services Community Living Life Short-Term Assistance for $232,033. You know, we had recommended fully funding this program. And this is a new program. Any comments, questions before we move for a motion? I will move for a motion to approve the IDD Special Initiatives funding of $232,033 per year for a two-year term for CRPC Community Services Community Life Support Life Short-Term Assistance, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer pending similar approval by the CCDDB. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All right, and just for discussion, it was approved. So
I do have, I guess, like one little question or comment.
Yeah.
Since it is a two-year term, would it be possible after they've done it for 1 year to maybe say what some of the funding went for? Like, so that I can be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad someone was able to buy a violin and take lessons or whatever. So obviously we wouldn't be able to do that until after one whole year.
Yeah. You can have that after 6 months.
Okay,
can we
wonderful.
Please get a presentation sometime?
Yes. You can have that after 6 months, and you can have an annual report in the August following, and then you can have another, if you want another mid-year report.
Because, you know, I asked a few questions about this. I don't want to be, like, critical or, you know, Negative Nelly. I would feel so much happier if I knew what kind of joy we were bringing to people.
You want to be a well-informed funder?
Yes.
But I think one reason I like this program is that it seemed really responsive to the study session we had, whatever month that was,
October.
The fall-ish, where we had self-advocates come and talk to us about the things that they want to be able to do and have more support around. And I think this program does a good job of listening to that and hearing what these individuals need.
Any other discussion? All right, with that, can I get a roll call, please?
Chris Miner?
Yes.
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 Woohoo, we did it.
Congratulations.
No.
But we did this part.
Yes. Heavy lifting is mostly done. All right. The next item is on page... Wait, why does it say 109 to 111?
It's
because it's the you put 109 to 111, which is MHB PY25 funding recommendations, but we already did that. So.
It's the tier sheets. The tier sheets.
Oh, you just want to go over the tier?
Yeah, I mean that's.
Yeah. Okay.
So there are spreadsheets on those three pages that reflect the recommendations, which are now like that's all going to be updated. I don't think I've ever written a less applicable memo than this one. I'm really sorry.
And then the next item is the changes in reporting on pages 112 to 117. It's a memo describes the proposed changes in reporting requirements. And there is an action requested on page 117.
And then I would also ask here, a week ago I thought this was the biggest problem with this board packet, that I missed two important demographic categories, which are Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, and then South Asian. So if you wouldn't mind adding those in the motion, that I can...
Yeah, so I'll move for a motion first, and then we can have a discussion about everything. So I'll move for a motion to approve the revised demographic and residency report categories and revised financial variance and equipment expense report thresholds to take effect July 1st, 2024, and to approve the reporting deadline changes to take effect July 1st, 2025, as proposed in the memorandum, and with the addition of Native Hawaiian / Pacific Islander and South Asian to the race/ethnicity category. Is there a second?
I second.
All right, so let's have some discussion on this. So, basically on the race/ethnicity category, we were looking at what demographics we wanted to include.
That's page 115.
115, oh, there it is, yeah.
So people don't get to say prefer not to answer.
Yeah.
Well, you can just say not available.
I mean, I think that's an option. Yeah. People should feel free to decline to answer any question at all. But the idea, this was really like there's a whole bunch of stuff that we had to fix during the last application cycle. So that's in the first part of the memo. And then a lot of these are just getting up to date and listening to what the agencies are doing now, mm-hmm. and what other funders are doing, and what some input from you all and from the DD board too. So that's related to the language use, the additional category of language use, and then all these changes to the current reporting categories. But then we had a couple of things that took a long time to do that we really needed to do, which are agencies are required twice a year to report on variances in any expense line that are greater than 20% or greater than $100. That is not a one-size-fits-all rule. It's been a real hardship for the large and small agencies. So we're doing this. hopefully just raising the minimum to $500 instead of $100 will help a lot with just, mm-hmm. it just reduces the amount of work that, for explanations of things that, you know, are really fine. And then the other financial change is equipment over $1,000. That just doesn't really make sense anymore. And the IRS threshold for when it's not equipment anymore, it's a capital purchase, is $2,500. So these are both things that show up in the funding guidelines. Remember I told you way earlier in the meeting that there is a motion that you approved to allow us to have language in the contract that supersedes the funding guidelines. So if you allow us to change these two thresholds, we'll do that in all the contracts so that the agencies will be able to report with more ease this year, but we don't have to revise the whole funding guidelines to do that. Okay.
All right. Any other discussion? Questions? All right. With that, can I have a roll call, please?
I don't think you need a roll call for this.
Oh, we don't? Okay. I guess it's not monetary. So all those in favor? Oh, go ahead. I made the motion. Yeah, we had a second. It's okay. It's been a long day. Yeah. all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. All right, those in favor have it. So the next item is the audit update and contract termination on page 118 and 119. So we do have some action that is requested on page 119.
You might remember talking about this in January. When the promise audit wasn't finished by January, the contracts with Promise were automatically canceled, and that's per the old funding guidelines. The new funding guidelines say now we bring that to you for a decision if we get to that point. So, but they were automatically canceled. The agency asked for you to reconsider that and or to waive the cancellation, and you decided to postpone a decision on that until the audit was submitted and reviewed. So the audit has been submitted. I've reviewed it, but the financial people have not finished reviewing it because they're waiting for more reports from Promise. But you are at a point where you may want to make these decisions because the audit has been done. It was we got it obviously in time to put a memo in the packet instead of adding it at the last minute. So okay.
Now, is there anything else outstanding with Promise Healthcare?
They told us that they needed to revise reports from the last couple of years, financial reports from the last couple of years. So we're waiting for that. Typically, the CPA consultant and our financial manager, when they are reviewing audits, they also look at the reports that were submitted to us. So they're waiting for those revised reports.
So
go ahead.
So how late are they?
Well, it's done, but it was due.
But then I see there's stuff from previous years that still needs done too.
Yeah, I mean they just want to revise those reports. I don't know why that's important because the audit should supersede that. But they asked us if they could revise those reports, so now we're waiting for those. And our two financial people tend to use those reports compared with the audit when they're doing their review. So it's just so they submit the audit to us, then we read it. Like, we read everything, and we follow up on any questions that are raised by the audit. I did ask several questions of the agency, and I got good answers back, things that I found in the audit, things that have already been fixed. But this one was for the year 2022, so it was due June 30th of last year, and then it was delayed quite a bit. Now, they'll have another audit due June 30th of this year, and they're working on that one, too. But anyway, so far, my questions have all been answered, but our financial professionals haven't been able to ask questions yet because they're waiting for those reports.
Do we actually assume them to have it this year's due, June 30th?
No, they won't.
They're working on it, but they know it will be late.
So what's the purpose of a due date? I guess that's not a question for you. This is just, since I've been on the board, I keep hearing about this delayed audits, and if we're giving you hundreds of thousands of dollars, do what you're supposed to do. I don't know. Okay, I'm done.
So, you know, obviously we want to fund agencies and want everything to be done on time, but I think being on this board, I've realized the reality that there are people that want to do a lot of good, but sometimes we're not good at everything. And those that, you know, start programs and start agencies, they sometimes realize things a little later that there are some issues that come up. And obviously Promise is a big program, and they've had a lot of changes over the last, since I've been here in 2019, in the last 4 or 5 years now. I, you know, hope that they are correcting the ship. Obviously, we've had plenty of conversations over the years. I try to be, with the executive director that there's been a lot of turnover. So I want to be an optimist. I want to allow time for agencies to fail and succeed. Obviously, in the past, when we've had these discussions, it's about who is punished at the end of the day. You know, it's community members that are not receiving services. And is there enough concern for me to not fund, you know, agencies and allow them then to fail in certain ways? Obviously, this is a big program. It would not make or break the whole Promise Healthcare. But they would probably see a big reduction then in services to people for mental health services. Again, I am trying to take this as a good faith effort. Obviously, they completed the audit. They are working on this year's audit. I obviously, it won't be done on time. I think, though, if everything is, you know, falling in line, I would waive the cancellation and approve the funding, because that's what I promised, and that's what I'm going to stick with. You know, they're providing the care with to individuals in our community, you know, with my promise that I would fund them if the audit came back sufficient. And if you know, I trust staff. If they feel comfortable with the audit, then I would waive the cancellation. If others feel differently, we can, you know, fund. Before this was approved, when the audit was submitted, but we had not fully reviewed it by staff yet, I had thought of the suggestion of funding them through January, filling the funding through January, and then awaiting staff a full review with the CPA to then fund from January through now. So this way there was enough funds that were being held that the agency would have an incentive to complete any other discrepancies that may come up with the audit. So, I mean, those are options that I would put forward, but I'm happy to hear what everyone has to say.
With my background, I'm definitely not a punitive person trying to punish everybody. I voted yes on every single thing tonight, except for the things I didn't want to discuss. But we have no leverage. They basically just have us hostage. I mean, Rosecrans, can you do what Promise does? Oh, okay. Sorry. I was kind of serious and kind of joking because I believe your paperwork was in on time or close to it. No, it's just like I'm saying, I completely understand what you're saying. I'm not proposing holding their money. I'm just saying is sometime it has to come to a point, especially for the ease of staff, where look, you got to have it done on time. That's just how the world works. Well, obviously it's not how the world works, but yeah, I completely understand and respect what you're saying. I just wanted to clarify that, oh, I'm not voting to not go along with this.
I mean, I think to put in perspective, there was a close vote in the past to not fund. So it was a hotly debated session. I remember that. And so for me, that was kind of, should be your big wake up call. If this does not, if the ship is not right, there is not a second chance for me. So as long as they're communicating with staff and making them aware of timelines of when things will get done and things are, when they are turned in, things look correct, then I am okay with that.
John, I have independently been thinking along the lines you've been thinking of putting in another little carrot, you know, of not giving all the money at once. So I like that idea of partially funding until everything is in. And because wanting to revise reports now, I'm wondering, what does that mean? Does that mean there's some of the financial part isn't right, and or they didn't get it done and want to have more time? So I like the idea of maybe funding, releasing funds maybe through January and then waiting for a complete all good.
Just to add pretty recent historical context, because I've only been here for, you know, a few months longer than you. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that many agencies were coming to us without undone audits. Unfortunately, in Champaign County, it's just hard to find a good auditor. And so here we are.
And I think what Lynn had brought up before is that they had gone to, but other agencies had gone to one auditors that were reputable that we thought would do things in an appropriate time, and they end up not being done in an appropriate time because those firms have a very significant difficulty during that when the pandemic hit. A lot of people retired, and there was not a lot of CPAs to then hire, even with raising the salaries. And so that was one of the things that we did in the last year was increasing how much the agencies could spend on these audits and hopefully making that a little easier to hire ones that are going to be more costly instead of being, you know, bottlenecked into like one specific or a few specific people to do these.
I think I've been very vocal on this because I'm kind of a rule follower and I'm like, why can't you get your stuff in? But the biggest thing I've always told my kids, and I've actually kind of told Promise, you gotta over-communicate. And I think they've gotten that now, whether it be their board, executive director, their financial person, over-communicate. And I think that was good. And so, you know, like John said, you know, you can't be great at everything, and they have had some turnover, and it's no one's fault. It sounds like they've even had, like, their financial officer. They've had some situations there, whether they left on their own or whatever. So it just seems like they kind of had a little storm going. And so, and you talked about, and, you know, we promised them that we would fund them. And if I'm correct, they have continued these services in hopes that they're going to get all their stuff in and then it's going to be okayed and that we will release the funds. So I think, you know, I think we need to do that. Again, the idea of maybe not giving the whole, you know, check might be an idea, but I think that, you know, they were in a bad situation and they've done their best to correct it.
So I have a question. How long has this been going on with Promise? They were late last year, this year, 2021. Is this something, is this a recurrent challenge with them? That's my first question.
Their audits, so I've been doing this for a long time, and I've heard from people there. I understand the origin of this problem. Their financial issues go back 20 years, and this has to do with a very bad calculation of their reimbursement rates. They have been one of the lowest paid federally qualifying health centers in Illinois, and yet highly rated for their services. And this is something they were trying to correct for years. The answer to your question is 11 years that the audits have been delayed, and it is because of difficulty keeping financial staff.
So this is not an issue due to COVID. So this is a problem with this agency, and I believe in fair treatment. So if other agencies are late with their audits, are we extending the same courtesy, or is this just something that's happened to Promise? We're giving this to them every year and not giving it to other agencies.
You've extended grace to everyone. And during COVID, it was obviously needed. I think their situation got much worse during COVID. Their audits were a little late for 11 years, but then COVID made them very late. So it has to do with not having, I think they had one financial staff person, and they're probably running on 10 different fiscal years, and you know, just like the complexity of their finances was way too much for the one person. And anyway, so
one example was First Followers. Hackman kind of the same time that we started doing that extension, and so First Followers was one that needed it, and we gave it to them, and they've been doing really well. Like, they're a big success story, but again, it's a smaller agency. You know, with that, it doesn't make it any easier, but there's different complexities that come and different issues that come up with different size agencies.
11 years.
And promise, even in spite of it all, they still provide the same services. Even if we withhold some of their money every now and then, and the services still continue. I mean, I think promise... Yes, I think we should just go back to the old name of Francis Nelson, and let's call it who they are.
Well, Chris Miner asked whether Rosecrans could do the same thing, and we are actually very lucky for a community of our size and location to have both a certified mental health and substance use provider and an FQHC. We actually have three FQHCs, but there are certain things that the FQHC can do that the community-based provider can't, the certified community provider cannot do, and then vice versa. So what the best thing would be if we can have really robust collaborations between them. But I think it's become very difficult because Promise has been on the edge for a few years.
Well, like I spoke last week, I don't want a monopoly. So I was just saying, I mean, if we're going to penalize people the same, shouldn't we be rewarding people who actually are doing it on time? And this is an endless conversation. So I'm going to stop here because I want to go home. And now I'm just, because we can do this all night. So I'm going to go ahead and pull back on that. Just 11 years is too much. It's too much.
So just to add more information, like Promise Healthcare, they also provide dental care. They have a Smile Healthy program. You know, they see children. The only places to see children that take Medicaid for kids is Promise Healthcare, the Public Health Department, who lost one of their dentists, so they're trying to hire another one, and Family Dental. And so they're providing services, and they obviously serve adults too for dentists, but you have to see their medical side too. And so then again, they provide, you know, medical care for the community, not just, you know, mental health, but also all of medical care for the community. So, you know, their books are going to be a lot more complicated, providing both medical care and dental care in the community.
I want to say I agree that 11 years is too long. I think this is a complex issue because this is an agency that's very large. They provide services to a large number of people in our community, and they receive a large amount of funding from us. I think overall, it seems like this past fiscal year or program year has been better on the audit. Late audit front than the previous year since I've been on the board overall. But I think, you know, thinking in the future about creating more fiscal responsibility and thinking about the audits in a serious way, you know, I think we did give a wake-up call in January when we postponed waiving the cancellation, and we didn't do it just then because I think in times past, you know, we may have, and I'm glad that they have completed what they need to. I am still a little bit confused about this thing that they said they were going to provide to us that they haven't yet. And I think, you know, that could be a potential for this middle of the road option where we waive the cancellation, release some payments, but not all. But I do want to know a little bit more about what we expect to gain from this thing that they want to give us. These, I can't remember what you called it. Lots of stuff rolling around in my brain.
Every quarter, agencies report to us on their financial activity, and it's a cumulative report to the end of the year. The contract year is a different cycle than this agency's fiscal year, so the reporting is more difficult to compare. So our consulting CPA and Chris Wilson, our financial manager, are waiting for the reports which were submitted to us online, which we have some, but the agency has said they are incorrect and that they need to be revised. So we don't know exactly which ones, but since they're cumulative, I'm going to say if you really think there were mistakes, then just do the 2 year-end ones. That would be all we would need to see. So, I mean, I'm not in that conversation. That's Chris has asked the agency. The agency gave me answers to everything I wanted to know. But these guys want to be able to compare the reports that are specific to us with what's in the audit, because it is a much more complicated agency with lots and lots of schedules, and there are schedules represented to us, but they want to be able to compare what the auditors found with what has been reported. I don't think I can explain it further than that, because I just read the audit and I had questions and they answered them all. So, yeah.
I appreciate that further explanation. And I think, you know, thinking about Promise was not up for us to, you know, for a funding request this year, but they will be up next year. And I guess, you know, we could make some special provisions regarding audits in the future. So I just wanted to mention that too.
I appreciate that idea. Mm-hmm.
So what are people's thoughts about fully funding versus funding through like January and holding the rest of funds until staff has completed a review with the CPA and is satisfied with the audit?
I'm going to vote. Well, I think for myself, it would be January.
I'm seeing a lot of nodding.
Could I ask, so there are, I prepared this memo because I thought, you know, we could get the review totally done. So I was like thinking optimistically. So I once again, another memo where I was just guessing, but I do think I separated the actions because their request was to waive cancellation. So you could waive cancellation and that's separate from any decisions that you might make about payments. The issue could be brought back to you next month, but like what you're talking about, splitting the payments, hopefully if you guys wanted to do that, you'd be able to modify that second motion there. I'm so sorry.
I agree with that. I think that would be a good way to proceed. All right. I will move to waive cancellation of CCMHB contracts with Promise Healthcare for mental health services, MHB 24-013, and PHC Wellness, MHB 24-041. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Seeing none, since this is a monetary one, we'll get a roll call, please.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omo Sagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Jen Straub?
Yes.
James Randall?
Yes.
John Paul Hewick?
Yes. My motion passes. The next one is for the release of payments for the contracts pending resolution of any issues related to the 2022 audit. So we could say motion to release payments from, would it be June 2023 until through?
No, it'd be January. July 1. Oh, July. Through December.
December.
Is that right? Okay. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So December 31st, 2023. And
23. Yeah. We're still holding it.
Yeah. And then and hold further payments hold further payments pending resolution of any issues related to the 2022 audit for the CCMHP contracts. Does that sound, that works so correct, or just moving that wording around?
Did I get it?
Yeah.
And then I inserted that here.
Okay, I guess that would be good. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. So, and then we can discuss if we want to, I guess we can change it. So I'll move for a motion to release payments for July 1st, 2023 to December 31st, 2023 for CCMHB contracts with Promise Healthcare for Mental Health Services, MHB 24-013, and PHC Wellness, MHB 24-041, and hold further payments pending resolution of any issues related to the 2022 audit.
I will second the motion.
Right. Any discussion? Does that sound agreeable to everybody? All right. With that, oh, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. With that, can I get a roll call, please?
Yes.
Jen Straub?
Yes.
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Lisa Liggins Chambers?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Jean-Paul Yogi?
Yes. All right. With that, we're going to move on to old business. So the evaluation capacity building on page 120. After 122.
There are no more votes for the evening, correct? Yes.
Correct. Correct. Yay, guys. Good job, team.
Hello, everyone. Happy hump day. I'm in the hot seat after that. I can show you a picture of dogs, a video, if that'll make you feel happier.
Oh, yes, please.
It's only 5 minutes, or I can save it for next time. So we submitted our report. You'll have the executive summary in your packet that I'm sure every one of you has thoroughly reviewed and is super excited about. Next time we will present a presentation to you of the Cliff Notes version of the report, but I'm here today to answer any questions that you might have of the executive summary. As you can see here, we collected quite a bit of data in year one. As you can see from this graphic, which is now on the screen, with the different types of data that we collected. And then we had 5 major findings, which we included a Cliff Note version of a table on the next page, which talks about what those findings were, as well as some example recommendations for the next year, some of which are ongoing and currently being implemented, and some of which will be future-oriented. And I can always cue up the video if you like. So, or we could. Oh, you only want it for cats? Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, fortunately, I will not be here physically next time because I have a training, but someone else will be here, so they'll see the disappointment in your face about the dog instead of the cat.
The dog person, cat person dichotomy needs to be destroyed.
Right,
we
chinchilla.
Can love both.
chinchilla
people.
Don't get me started.
I just want to say this is a tremendous amount of work. I mean, even just doing 13 interviews and focus groups is a lot, and then everything else that you did, and it seems like some very helpful information was gathered, and the 250 years of collective experience, I remember when that was first brought to us in the fall, and I was, you know, it's just astounding. So thank you so much for your work.
Am I supposed to hit this thing? Yeah. We'll work on the cats for the next year.
Thank you.
Probably a new micro-learning.
I just want to say thank you, Doctor, for everything that you and your group have done, you know, for the agencies, just, you know, being able to build and optimize, help them grow and optimize capacity. And you know, I think this is something that a lot of us have wanted to see over the years, and just finally seeing this come to fruition is just very wonderful to experience. So thank you for all of this, and I enjoy every time you're here presenting to us. So thank you. Any other?
The agencies, the board, and everything, and I said this morning, so if you want to see the recording next time, if you want to have a spoiler alert for things, is that just the fact that the board and the board staff have seen the need for this and are investing in it, and that the agencies are also investing in it, and a lot of our recommendations are for them to make time and space, but they've been doing so much work and wearing so many different hats, and to make the space for this, I think, is really important and valuable, and we're happy to do it in multi-modes, so doing different trainings in person, doing things on demand so that they can look at it whenever they need. We're trying to be as accessible as we possibly can in the different ways in which we're providing the assistance that we are creating. So thank you also for all of your support for it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. With that, we'll move on to the quarterly reports, or the quarter reports, yeah. On pages 123 through 168, was there anything interesting that you wanted to bring out from all these reports? I mean, there's a lot of information. All right. With that, we'll move on to successes and other agency input. We'll reserve individual participation to 5 minutes and then total time to 20 minutes. If there's any agencies that would like to make any comments, now is the time.
Is there anyone on the Zoom who would like to say anything? No.
All right, we'll move on to board-to-board reports. Go ahead, Elaine.
This is just, I just want to very quickly say this. I visited the drug court program in Knott County, Kentucky, while I was gone, which puts people in to building guitars, this big studio, and they also silkscreen t-shirts and have a lot of kind of artistic things that they do, but the guitar studio where they build guitars is run by a person who is in recovery. He's been running it for years, and it's just really impressive, and I just wish there were something, you know, like that we could do here. I mean, they start with the wood in the forest and end up with guitars. That's cool. Just an amazing program, and they also repair instruments, and so they just learn everything, and the YouTube videos that you can see about the people who have done this talk about how engaging it is every moment. It's such a detailed process, and how good this is for so many things about psychology, and then they end up with these beautiful instruments that are sold there. So it was really, I'd heard about it for a long time, and I knew what the studio was before it got connected to drug court. And it was because a retired judge from drug court was put on the board of the art center, and he started thinking in this way. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very, very interesting program that helps a lot of people.
That's really cool. We'll move on to county board input. Any county board input?
We'll be in the same room tomorrow about the same time. So if you all want to come back for another party, we're also going to be talking about budget.
Oh, man. All right, we'll move on to the CCDDB board input, which we've kind of already went over.
Yeah, I think you got it. Yeah. Hey, I always want to make you jealous of the DD board. They were able to cancel their June meeting.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
Well, we got elections to do next time.
And didn't you say they were done, like, within an hour? I said I'm switching boards.
That's probably why Susan Fowler went to the other board.
Truth. There's a whole different kind of pain that they have to work through. It really, it's real, though. So, yeah. But yeah, that's it.
All right. Board announcements and input.
I just really wanted to thank the entire staff of our board for all the tremendous work you did. I want to thank all of my fellow board members too, but the staff especially, just the amount of work that you have poured into making recommendations, just like every single facet of this funding allocation process is so time consuming and so requires such big picture and detail oriented thinking, and you all just did fantastic. So, and I know it was so much work. So, thank you for everything.
I do want to say, just to add to that, you know, obviously, all of us board members, staff, and agencies, you know, all come here from a good place of wanting to do good in the community, want to make the biggest changes that we can with the time that we have. And I know sometimes it can be a little negative with our discussions and or a little cynical, but, you know, there's so much that, you know, all these agencies do that is so good in this community and how much they have helped so many people, countless people in this community. You know, I want to thank all of them and all the staff in their agencies for all the hard work they do, you know, because they do it because they want to help people. You know, no one goes into these agencies and working in these programs because they want to make money. none of them would be here today if that was the case. So I really want to thank everyone. So thank you.
Had one little tidbit. On Sunday, I went to the Community Choices. They had a bake-off. It was a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. It's the first time they've done it. So I'm like weird. I like doing stuff like that. So if you ever see like one of our agencies doing something, if it's not like $100 a ticket, I may go. But it was really neat, and I thought that Becca did a great job organizing it, and I have a picture of like the 19 things that I tasted, and by the time I got home I felt sick because like 19 little bites of cake, that's a lot.
With that, oh, go ahead, Doctor.
You can keep it.
Okay, with that I will move to adjourn. See everybody next month. All right. Yes.